Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his
power. Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 13th of December, 2017. We're still in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, pardon me. We'll be starting with chapter 33 today, see how far we get. When I'm finished with Chronicles on Friday, we will then go into the apocryphal book, starting with the book of Jasher, that is Yashar, the book of the upright. We will have finished the entire Old Testament. So that's been a long and pleasurable run here. I've put a lot of work into it, and I hope you have enjoyed it. The book of Jasher will be a long read. It has 91 chapters. So, let's get started with chapter 33. And you can reference 2 Kings 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Here you go, verse 2. You can reference Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 4. But he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, like unto the abominations of the nations whom Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. He was doing pagan worship. Here you go, verse 3. For he built again the high places, again, of pagan worship, which Hizkiyahu, his father, had broken down. And he raised up altars for Baalim, and made Asherah poles, and prostrated to all the host of the sky, and served them. So he was undoing all the good that Hezekiah, or Hizkiyahu, had done. Verse 4. We can reference 2 Chronicles 6, 6. Also, he built altars in the house of Yahweh, of which Yahweh had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Oh, boy. Verse 5. And he built altars for all the host of the sky in the two courtyards of the house of Yahweh. Totally paganized and defiled the temple. Verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. There's a big statue of Molech there. And he burned his own children as sacrifices to Molech. Also, he practiced witchcraft and used enchantments and used sorcery and did necromancy with familiar spirits. He did much evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. Oh, I guess so. Verse 7 and verse 8, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. And 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 through 18. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, and the house of Elohim, of which Elohim had said to David and to Shlomo his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Verse 8. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed or observe to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law or Torah and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moshe. Verse 9. So Manasseh made Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. That's 8582. And to do worse than the nations, or more evilly, 7451, worse or more evilly, than the nations whom Yahweh had destroyed before the children of Israel. Now, if he's going to destroy these other nations, what's he going to do to Israel for doing this? Think about that. What's he doing to us today? We're in apostasy. Only the remnant is coming out and worshiping Yahweh, the rest are worshiping whatever. Verse 10. And Yahweh spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not listen. Well, our people aren't listening now. Only a few. Verse 11. Wherefore Yahweh brought upon them the officers of the army of the king of Asher, that's Assyria, which captured Manasseh among the thorns. He ran out of the city in the thorn bushes, and they still got him. And bound him with fetters of bronze and carried him to Babel. Verse 12. And when he was in affliction, that's 6887, he entreated, that's 2470, before Yahweh, his Elohim, and humbled himself greatly before the Elohim of his father. Verse 13. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and returned him to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Yahweh, he was Elohim. Verse 14. Now after this, he built a wall outside the city of Dawid on the west side of Gihon in the Wadi, even to the entering in at the fish gate and surrounding Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put officers of armies in all the fortified cities of Yehuda. Well, he was really going to clean house, because this is what it says here, verse 15. And he took away the racial aliens, gods, or Elohim, small e, and the idol from the house of Yahweh, and all, pardon me here, I have to cough. Yep. And all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of Yahweh and in Jerusalem, and cast them outside of the city. In other words, he just undid everything that he did evil, because he was really humble. He was smitten down. And he rebuilt the altar of Yahweh, and sacrificed on it peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Yehuda to serve Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Here's a key verse 17. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, but unto Yahweh their Elohim only. Those were pagan sites, and those sacrifices were not of effect. You can't Christianize or Yahwehize paganism. You can't take rituals that the pagans were doing and say, oh, this is how we're going to do it. We don't copy the heathens. Verse 18. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his Elohim, and the words of the seers that spoke to him in the name of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, behold, they are written in the words of the kings of Israel, the book of Kings. Verse 19, his prayer also, and God was entreated of him, and all his sin and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places and set up Asherah poles and carved idols before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. In other words, they logged everything in of all the evil he did. Verse 20, and you can reference 2 Kings 21, verse 18. So Manasseh slept with his forefathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Well, his father had repented big time. Okay, here's Amon, verse 21. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years, that's it, in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, as did Manasseh his father, for Amon sacrificed unto all the carved idols which Manasseh his father had made and served them. Verse 23, and he humbled himself not before Yahweh, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed even more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. Verse 25, but the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Yoshiahu his son king in his place. And you can reference 2 Kings 21, verse 24. Okay, they killed the bad king, and then the people killed the people that killed the king. I mean, regicide is punishable by death. Even if they had just cause, they killed him. Now we're in chapter 34. Okay. Yoshiahu was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. In other words, 31 years. You can reference 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. And Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. A lot of this in Chronicles is also recounted in the book of Kings. Okay, verse 2, and he did uprightly, that's 3477, Yashar, in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the ways of Dawid his forefather, and turned neither to the right hand nor to the left. He was unswerving in his loyalty. Verse 34 is a long chapter, so that's one of the reasons I'm only doing two today. Verse 3, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the Elohim of Dawud, his forefather, and in the 12th year he began to cleanse, 2891, Yehuda and Jerusalem from the high places and the Asherah poles and the carved idols and the cast images. In other words, he was going to clean out all this paganism. So they got another good king. They'd have a good one and then they'd have a bad one. It was back and forth and back and forth. Verse 4. You can reference 2 Kings 21, verse 3, and 2 Chronicles 33, verse 3. And they broke down the altars of Baalim before him, and the sun pillars that were on high above them. And he cut down the Asherah poles and the carved idols and the cast images. He broke in pieces and made dust of them and sprinkled it, 2236, upon the graves, upon the face or the surface of the graves of them that had sacrificed to them. Verse 5, and he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Yehuda and Jerusalem. So those were the pagan altars. Well, they killed the priests that were pagan priests and burnt their bones on those altars. And you can reference 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2, verse 6, and in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Shimeon, even unto Naphtali, this either means with their tools or in their ruins round about. Verse 7, when he had broken down the altars and the Asherah poles and had beaten the carved idols into powder and cut down all the sun pillars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Well, we have pagan images all over our land. That Washington Monument is a sun pillar. Do you not realize that? A steeple on the top of a so-called church is a sun pillar. Sun worship. It's all over the place. Our people are still in apostasy. They are being taught this garbage by the false pastors. And they're just following along like a good little sheeple. Doing whatever. They have not broken away. And we wonder why we've got all these problems today. Because Yahweh's still angry. Here we go. They found a copy of the Torah. Verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had cleansed the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliahu, and Maaseiahu, the governor of the city, and Joach, the son of Joachaz, the recorder, to repair the house of Yahweh, his Elohim. Verse 9. And when they came to Kilkiahu, the high priest, they gave the money that was brought into the house of Elohim, which the Levium that guarded the threshold had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Yehuda and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. Verse 10. And they put it in the hand of the doers of work that had the oversight of the house of Yahweh, and they gave it to the workmen, or doers of work, that wrought in the house of Yahweh to repair and strengthen. They have amend in the King James, but it's strengthen, 2388, the house. Verse 11. Even to the craftsmen and builders, they gave it to buy hewn stone and timber for joists, and to lay the beams of the houses which the kings of Yehuda had destroyed. Now, the houses, the chambers within the temple. Okay. Verse 12, and the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Yakoth and Obadiah, the Levium of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam of the sons of the Kohathi, to supervise, and of the Levi, all that could understand instruments of songs, or that understood instruments of songs, either way. In other words, musicians. Also, over the bearers of burdens and overseers of all that did the work in any manner of service, and of the Levium, scribes and officers and gatekeepers. In other words, they assembled all the priesthood back together to fix the temple. Verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of Yahweh, Kilkiahu the priest found a scroll of the teaching. Here it is, teaching, not just law. It's Torah, but it means the teaching of Yahweh by Moshe, because that's what Moshe did. He taught that law. Verse 15, and Hilkiahu answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the scroll of the teaching in the house of Yahweh. And Kilkiahu gave the scroll to Shaphan. Verse 16, and Shaphan carried the scroll to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to the hand of your servants, they do. Verse 17, and they have poured forth the money that was found in the house of Yahweh, and have given it to the hand of the overseers and to the hands of the doers of work. 2 Kings 22:10 for verse 18. Okay, that's a reference. 2 Kings 22:10. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Kilkiahu, the priest, has given me a scroll. And Shaphan read it before the king. Oh boy. Verse 19. And you can reference 2 Kings 22, verse 11. And it was when the king had heard the words of the teaching that he rent his clothes. You can reference 2 Kings 22:11. He tore his clothes because he was so emotionally distraught. Verse 20, and the king commanded Kilkiah and Akikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of Yahweh for me and for those that are left in Israel and in Yehuda concerning the words of the scroll that is found, for great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us because our forefathers have not kept the word of Yahweh to do after all that is written in this scroll. Well, great is the wrath of Yahweh that's being poured out upon us because we are not keeping those words. We as a national entity. Now, there are those here of the remnant that are keeping them to the best of our ability. But that does not translate to the rest of them. There's a lot of people of Israel that are not obedient to the words of Yahweh. So that's our main problem here. Let me get a little drink of ice water. Verse 22, and you can reference 2 Kings 22, verse 14. And Kilkiah and those that the king had appointed, that's in italics, went to Huldah the prophetess, okay, that's 5031, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tachanath, the son of Kachra, or Kasra, pardon me, keeper of the wardrobe. Now, she lived in Jerusalem in the second district. And they spoke to her about this. And she answered them, thus saith Yahweh Elohe Israel, tell you the man that sent you to me, thus saith Yahweh. Behold, I will bring harm. Now they have evil here in the King James, but it's harm upon this place and upon the inhabitants of it. Even all the curses that are written in the scroll which they have read before the king of Yehuda, because they have forsaken me and have made smoke unto other Elohim, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. That's idols. Okay. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Verse 26. And as for the king of Yehuda, who sent you to inquire of Yahweh, so shall you say unto him, thus saith Yahweh, Elohe Israel, about the words which you have heard. You can now reference 2 Kings 22, verse 19, verse 27. Because your heart was tender and you did humble yourself from before Elohim, when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled yourself before me and did rend your clothes and weep before me, I have even heard you also, declares Yahweh. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all the harm, again they have evil, all the harm that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they returned the king word again. They keep putting evil in here. Oh, Yahweh does evil? No. The word also means harm. He's going to punish these people. He's going to hurt them for doing what they did. Verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Yehuda and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Yehuda and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priest and the Levium, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the scroll of the covenant that was found in the house of Yahweh. Now, some people are trying to say this was only the book of Deuteronomy, because that can... I think that is an error, because they wrote a continuous scroll of the entire Torah. It was one, it was not separate scrolls, it was one. Verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant. Actually cut a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his being, to do the words of the covenant which are written in this scroll. Verse 32. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand, in other words, to uphold it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of Elohim, the Elohim of their forefathers. Verse 33. And Yoshiahu took away all the abominations, that's 8441, from all the countries that are the lands that were of the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve Yahweh their Elohim. And all his days they departed not from following Yahweh the Elohim of their forefathers. Now that ends chapter 34. Okay. Now we have two more chapters to go, 35 and 36. I have quite a bit of time, but not enough time, I don't think. Let me look at 35 here. I don't want to do part of a chapter. Yeah, I have time to do chapter 35. But 35 and 36 really are tied together, but let's continue on with 35 here. I'll do some other stuff on Friday as well as chapter 36. Verse 1 of chapter 35. Moreover, Yoshiyahu kept a Passover to Yahweh in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover lamb on the 14th of the first month, as they're supposed to. Okay? That's how they're supposed to do it. And he set the priests in their charges and strengthened them to the service of the house of Yahweh. Verse 3. And said to the Levium that taught all Israel, which were holy to Yahweh, put the holy ark in the house which Shlomo, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall not be a burden on your shoulders. Serve now Yahweh your Elohim and his people Israel. Verse 4, you can reference 2 Chronicles 8, verse 14. And prepare by the houses of your forefathers, after your divisions, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Shlomo, his son. In other words, arrange yourself according to your stations. Verse 5, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brothers, the sons of the people. And after the portion of the families of the Levium. Now, some of the words are changed here from the King James because I'm correcting their words. They put in whatever they want. Verse 6, so kill the Passover lamb and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brothers that they may do according to the word of Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. That was a king's commandment. You will keep this Passover and you will do it right. Ah, yeah. Verse 7, and Yoshiyahu gave to the people of the flock he lambs and sons of goats, or kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000, and 3,000 cattle. These were of the king's livestock. Verse 8. And his officers gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, to the Levium, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Yechiel, officers of the house of Elohim, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 sheep and 300 oxen. Because they have small cattle here in the King James. Well, that's small livestock. That's sheep. Okay. Verse 9. Conanyahu also, and Shemaiah, and Nathanael, his brethren, and Kashabyahu, and Yeiel, and Yozabad, officers of the Lewium, gave unto the Lewium for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle, again, that would be sheep, and 500 oxen. Verse 10. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their places, and the Lewium in their divisions, according to the king's commandment. Verse 11. They killed the Passover lambs, and the priests sprinkled from their hands, that's the blood, and the Lewium flayed them. Verse 12. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the house of the fathers of the sons of the people to offer unto Yahweh, as it is written in the scroll of Moshe. And so they did with the oxen. Verse 13. You can reference Exodus 12, verses 8 and 9. And they roasted the Passover lambs with fire according to the ordinance, but the other holy offerings they cooked in pots. Now, if you read Exodus, it says they're to be roasted whole. And in kettles and in pans, and moved quickly among all the sons of the people. Verse 14. And afterward they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests of the sons of Aharon were busy offering burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Lewium prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aharon. Verse 15. You can reference 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of Dawood, and Asaph and Heman and Yeduthun the king's seer, and the gatekeepers were at every gate, that they might not depart from their service, because their brothers the Lewium prepared for them. You can reference 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. So all the service of Yahweh was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of Yahweh according to the commandment of King Yoshiahu. And you can compare Hezekiah's Passover celebration in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 15 through 18. Verse 17, you can reference Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, and the feast of Matzot 7 days. Verse 18, you can reference 2 Kings 23, 22. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Shemuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept Yoshiahu. And the priest and the Lewium and all Yehuda in Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Here's verse 20. After all, Yahu had prepared the house, Necho, king of Mitzrayim came up to fight against Carchemish by the Parath, that's the Euphrates. And Yoshiahu went out to meet him in battle. Verse 21, but he sent messengers to him, saying, what have I to do with you, king of Yehuda? I come not against you this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For Elohim commanded me to make haste. For, in other words, forbear from meddling with Elohim, who is with me, that he destroys you not. Well, that's his opinion. But anyway, Yoshiahu would not listen. So, 22. Nevertheless, Yoshiahu would not turn around his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and listened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of Elohim, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Okay, that's Har Megiddo. That would be Mountain of Megiddo, and that's where they get Armageddon. It's Har Megiddo. Well, this is the valley of Megiddo below the Mount of Megiddo. Verse 23, and the archers shot at King Yoshiahu, and the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am greatly wounded. So they got him. Verse 24, his servants took him out of that chariot and and rode him in a second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his forefathers. And all Yehuda and Jerusalem mourned for Yoshiahu. And Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah, chanted over Yoshiahu, and all the singing men and singing women spoke, got my tongue in front of my eye teeth, of Yoshiahu in their dirge, I can't talk today, to this day, and made an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the dirges. That's funeral songs. Verse 26. Now the rest of the acts of Yoshiahu and his piety according to the Torah, that was written in the Torah of Yahweh, and his words, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Yehuda. And that ends chapter 35. I do not have time to do chapter 36. We will cover this on Friday. And that will be the end of the book of 2 Chronicles, and will end the Old Testament. I will do a synopsis of the whole deal of 2 Chronicles on Friday. So, while I'm free here for a minute or two, we can see the analogy between 2 Chronicles and the world today. The kingdom of Israel is in dispersion. We're scattered all over the place. But we are still doing some of the wrong things. Matter of fact, a lot of the wrong things that they did back then. We're still, you look around, we've got churches with idols in them. This Mother Mary and the child, that's the Queen of Heaven. and that's Mithra, the sun god. That's not Mary in Jesus, okay? So you can get that out of your mind. That's what they say. But it's not. They're lying to you. That is a pagan thing. Anytime you have statues, that's against Yahweh's law. We're not supposed to have graven images. We're just not. So get over that. Stop doing that. But to get these people who are enthralled by the Church of Rome, the Romish apostasy, it's like pulling teeth. It's terrible. They don't want to listen. They get violently angry and would actually do a person harm over it. They get really upset. They are raised like that from birth, and it's very hard to counteract. Now we see those in Catholicism that were not raised in a fanatical household. Well, they're easier to get to because they're coming out on their own. The Catholic Church's membership is dwindling. People are just, you know, they're seeing through all these lies. And then all the pedophile priests and all this nonsense that they're going through. It's taking a toll on them. But they're still very, very large, and we shall see what we shall see concerning the Catholic Church. Does not look good for them. They are falling away in great numbers. The Joel Osteens of the world, with their dog and pony show, they're growing. So apostasy abounds. We are coming to the end of the age, I do believe, brothers and sisters. And all we can do is basically get our own house in order. That's the last thing. We can keep witnessing, and we'll gather one here and there. They're coming in. But for the most part, Israel still remains in apostasy. So we're watching the interesting scenario playing out with the pedophiles. We're supposed to be having CIA raids. They're supposed to be doing arrests. I haven't seen any. And the mainstream media is not reporting it at all. They're absolutely just stonewalling the whole deal. That's typical for the mainstream media. They really resist and fight against the truth. They have a great problem telling the truth. They will spin it and modify it and basically lie all they can. They had apostate priests back in the days that I just read about in Chronicles. And those apostate priests would lie to the people. They had the apostate priests in the time of Yeshua Messiah who were lying to the people and teaching them the wiles of Babylon. Their Talmud Well, they're still doing that. Those who can hear, let them hear. Okay. That's not covering everybody. There's a lot of people that don't want to hear. They've hardened their heart. They don't want to hear the message that Yeshua Messiah gave. They don't want to hear our message. Those people are gone. You know, I hate to say that. I'm not getting enjoyment out of that. That's a grievous thing to see these people just drop off by the wayside. Man, I mean, that really bothers me. But it is not my choice. It is not your choice. I mean, we can witness to them. Well, they witnessed to a lot of the people back in the times of Israel. Way back when, it hasn't changed. There are people that are going to listen, people that are not going to listen, and you just have to move on. There's somebody out there that you might get to repent. Through your words, Yahweh will use you as a tool. But His words never go out in vain. Somebody will hear that. Well, I'm down the top of the hour here, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to play the bumper music and wish you Yahweh's blessings. Praise Yahweh. I'll catch you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.